Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. I see we had our co-host on, but he dropped, so I'm expecting him to call back in. Good evening. This is Dr. K. We're going to have a very interesting discussion this evening, sort of a potpourri of things, but beginning probably with the wisdom of the effort right now going on to hold a con. And my co-host is in and live. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening. Thanks for starting me out. I've called in three times and been cut.
Oh, that's what happens again. It's been cut off. I don't know what the story is, but he should be in again. Let me see. So we have a discussion this evening about the wisdom of holding a con. There are a number of things going on regarding that. And let's see. Terry, you're live, so see if you can just keep talking, and we'll see if this stops cutting off.
See if it lasts more than 15 seconds?
Yeah, keep talking.
So far, that's what's happened. Has Red joined us yet?
Not yet.
Well, then I probably ought to open us with a prayer, and hopefully that'll stop us being cut off.
Yes, please do.
I trust you've welcomed everyone to Walls in Our Minds tonight, right?
Yes, I have, just barely, and so go ahead.
All right. Almighty Yahweh, we just we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity to learn how to be good people, in order to surrender ourselves, in order to rely upon you, in order to stop trying to control everything ourselves. And we're just thankful that you've given us a way to be reconciled with you. We're just thankful that you provided the perfect sacrifice through your Son, Yahshua. And we ask that your Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, be with us this evening and fill us and help us say the things that would be according to your will and that is needed to be heard by our listeners. We just we want to be useful to you. We want to be available to you. Red has said so many times to remind us that it's most important that we be available. And that's what we want to be tonight, Kate and Red and myself. We want to be available, and we hope that you will put the message through us that you desire. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Kate, the last couple of days has been very interesting. You know, the last few months has been just a heightened attack, it seems like. Everywhere you turn, there's been a different form of attack or distraction, and nothing's happening to the criminals that have been, you know, murdering people, Benghazi, selling arms to the very people that they claim they're having a war on terror against. Our own people are providing them with a means to go in and take over regimes that are not attacking us, that, you know, they keep raising the debt when what they need to be doing is cutting so many of the costs that they are incurring that are totally outside the change of the Constitution. And now now we've got this a group of attorneys out there that seem to be bent on providing the opportunity for this rogue fascist Marxist Luciferian regime to totally destroy our founding documents, the thing that we call the highest law of the land. You know, we're seeing people that seem to be trying to tell the truth out there, that try to get a message forward, are being approached and they're trying to bribe them. And my fear is that if they don't accept any bribes, they're going to be either marginalized or criminalized or murdered, because that's what's been happening to so many people out there. So I guess we need to take these things one at a time tonight and try to cover and talk about some reality, some truth. Has Red joined us yet?
Yes, he has.
Well, good evening, Red.
I'm here. I'm just finishing my dinner, so go ahead.
All right, we will. Well, Kate, I'd like to talk a little bit about Dutch Sense. I'd like to talk a little bit about the ConCon situation, which really includes a conversation about attorneys in general. I'd like to mention, you know, the original 13th, you know, talk a little bit about legislative counsel and how that seems to be working. Also, I'm hearing that babies are being chipped. Now, so there's been rumors regarding Obamacare and the chip situation, and I've done a little digging on that. I'd like to bring some of that out. You know, there's a call today for secession by more people than I've seen in the past. All of a sudden, they're all coming out and saying people need to rise up and either secede by peace, and if not, be prepared for what comes otherwise. And you know, these are all things that could be a show in and of themselves, but we have no guests tonight, so I'd like to kind of, you know, to move through some of these topics. Any suggestion as to where you'd like to start?
Well, since you mentioned Dutch, let's go ahead and start with Dutch's recent revelation about an offer he got, because it relates to the news we've heard about the White Hats, the Red Dragon Society, the Green Dragon Society, the Benjamin Fulford, and supposedly an effort to essentially get all the wealth back from the cabal who stole it and distribute it worldwide. So why don't we start with Dutch? For those of us who don't know Dutch Sense, he's on YouTube. He really has been a pioneer in leading the analysis of weather modification, HARP, and various other tools, chemtrails, and had, because of the truth that he's been laying out there on the weather and the weather manipulation, he has been a target. He's had a friend murdered. He's been on the road. He also has looked at the Fukushima radiation, which is dropping all over the United States right now, primarily on the West Coast. And most recently, he's come up with an interesting offer. So with that background in mind, Terry, why don't you go ahead?
Well, Michael Janets is a gentleman that goes by the nick on the web and in YouTube as Dutch Sense. I believe his website is actually a WordPress site that got hacked in the past, so he's reversed the words. It now is sensedutch.wordpress.com, I believe. Is that what you understand, Kate? If not, I can look it up, but I believe that's correct. I think you find it under Sense Dutch. And I think you spell sense in a combination manner. Instead of S-E-N-S-E or S-I-N-C-E, it is S-I-N-S-E, Dutch, D-U-T-C-H. And that's the same way he spelled Dutch Sense, Dutch Sense, S-I-N-S-E. So if you go to his website, you can see the entirety of this story. I will preclude the discussion about what he has recently brought out as, you know, proclaimed to everyone, disclosed to everyone. A couple of weeks ago, Benjamin Fulford, who was born the son of a well-known Canadian politician. And he kind of sowed his oats, if you will, traveled the world, you know, with a backpack on it, on himself, and became a Forbes reporter and writer, and eventually moved to Japan and became a bartender of all things, and got in with the Dragon family. At one time, they were once called the Red Dragons, and they were called the Green Dragons. And you'll remember that there was a tavern that our founders during the Revolution met in the Green Tavern Inn, which I believe is a Green Dragon Inn, which is probably tied to some of those families. And more recently, they've been known as the Black Dragon Society and then the White Dragon Society. And this is who Fulford was working for as a bartender, and he became a confidant of theirs, and then became one of the first Anglos to ever be admitted as a junior member of the White Dragon Society, which really is really kind of an Oriental mob, if you will. I don't know any other way to put that, but they are a syndicate made up of family and those that are associated with them. Well, they've been out there meeting with, because they have major financial ties and banking connections and political ties. And at one point, Fulford had come out and claimed that, you know, SARS, the virus SARS, which everybody's pretty much convinced at this point was a laboratory-created virus, was designed to attack the Asians. And this White Dragon Society, and I think at the time it may have been still called the Black Dragon Society, actually came out and threatened this banking cabal that we talk about so much, these international banksters that basically control the Vatican and the one-square-mile city of London, which is known as the Crown, the group that owns the Vatican and the city of London, which is that one square mile area, and Washington, D.C., are known as the Crown. And these are the people who make up the families that own the Federal Reserve System, which is a foreign corporation. It's a private group. Well, the Black Dragon Society believed that it was that cabal who, in fact, had put the czars out there in order to attack the Asians. And they came against them and said, look, if you know you want to put your 10,000 brainwashed assassins up against our 100,000 or martial arts trained assassins, we'll take you out. And that's kind of how that conversation started when I first got into it. And now all of a sudden they're having meetings and they're negotiating about, you know, what's going to happen, and they lay claims to philanthropy. They, you know, they come out and say that all these funds are available to remove poverty from the world, and, you know, that the cabal that, you know, hasn't been fair with the people, and, you know, they're saying they're going to step in and do something about this. Well, a few weeks ago, Fulford comes out and says that the Dragon Society had met with the representatives of the banking cabal and given them some additional time along with their agreement to allow the Chinese to distribute these funds that they want to do for, you know, helping poverty around the world. Well, these folks are, you know, just another form of control. And if they have indeed made these negotiations, what right did they have to be, you know, representing us, the people? And I'm not just talking about the people in the United States, although that's my primary concern. I'm talking about the people all over the world, because this is impacting, you know, the whole international banking and currency markets, and basically who holds the lien on everything. And now, this thing comes out with Dutch Sense that this group approached them, and not just Dutch, but a fellow, another well-known alternative internet fellow by the name of, and another one that's another gal, and then a whole bunch of others that they were aware of. But the three of them who have a conscience and who have been giving us good information, particularly on HAARP and weather warfare and, like you said, the Fukushima and monitoring the earthquakes around the world and providing satellite imagery so that we can see what's going on and giving us good scientific data so that we can begin to understand the attack that's going on all over the world, basically genocide. You know, this is who Dutch Sense is. This is who Michael Janitz is. He's somebody who, for the last couple of years, has predicted every major severe storm event in the United States about 36 hours in advance by watching how they've been spraying the skies and then using low-frequency radio waves to control the storms, along with other methods like scalar squares and NEXRAD pulse and that sort of thing. Michael Janitz has been sticking his neck out, even though he's been threatened. He's had his sight hacked. He's continued to give us as much good information so that we can make a choice and make decisions about how to protect ourselves. They have approached him, and I say they, not really knowing who they are in this case, because they claim to be representing the White Dragon Society, the OPPT, which is the One People's Party Trust. They also mentioned Aleister Crowley. They mentioned the United Nations. They said that they would provide, if Michael Janitz and these others, who are well-known web personalities, would cooperate with them, that they would provide them with UN immunity, a lot of money. We're talking millions of dollars of money that has been offered. And they expected them to sign an oath that was associated with Aleister Crowley's philosophy of do as thou wilt, which is basically do what you want to accomplish your purposes, which is pretty much the way that this banking cabal, which includes H.W. Bush and Kissinger and mainly Rockefeller, who is one of the kingpins directly under Rothschild and some of the Club of 300. But then as soon as this word came out and as soon as Dutch and them came out and said, look, we've been made this offer and we know people who have actually received their documentation from the UN providing them with immunity, we're not going to go along with this because it goes completely against our beliefs, are both their religious and philosophical beliefs, because they think it would be a disservice to humanity, and they're not willing to sacrifice their souls. They feel like it's a selling of their souls. Well, then Fulford comes out and says, the White Dragon Society didn't have anything to do with this. Another person comes out and says the OPPT is a resolved trust that's no longer in existence. That this is just some kind of malarkey out there. And, you mentioned the White Hats. Well, I'm seeing more and more people talking about referring to them as the CIA White Hats. And, of course, we've seen them make an awful lot of predictions that haven't come true, which at this point, leaves me to with no choice but to say, they're a propaganda group, just like so many others out there, like Sorcha Fayal and EU Times. And so we're getting all this tremendous amount of disinformation, but in all likelihood, the UN is connected to these offers. And you see all of the other stuff that's going on at this point is a cover-up for all of the crimes that these people are committing. And these people own the UN. I mean, Rockefeller owned the property that the United Nations building sits on. And, he's the one that started the League of Nations. And, again, he is tied in with the Rothschild family. So that's as good of a description as I can throw out at this point of what, Dutch Sense has come out with this week. But in addition to that, you'll find on his site links to things like major mainstream media articles out of China – where they're talking about this new world currency, where they're talking about the equivalent of special drawing rights, where they're talking about no longer having even the Federal Reserve notes of the United, that are used in the United States as a international reserve currency. They're talking about doing things like, you know, buying oil, not using FRNs anymore, which it had been the currency that if you wanted to buy oil, you had to move your funds into, you know, Federal Reserve notes before you could do that. We call them dollars, but they're not dollars. Kate, help me out there, because fill in the blanks. What have I left out?
Not that much. I was thinking about a discussion I had with Red a little bit earlier today, or perhaps it was yesterday, but some key words to me are, of course, the cabal, which we know of all the members, including Obama and his backers, are Luciferians, what I would call the Luciferians, that basically they bought Satan's temptation in the wilderness, and they want the whole world, and Satan, I believe, is working through them to enslave all of us. And you can see that they haven't been able to capture us with arms, but they've been able to infect our minds and steal our souls and spirits, and you know, through the mechanisms that they've built, education, all of that. We are, right now, we are the product of a centuries-old attack on Christ. So so first, the Luciferians. The second is the time of great deception is here. And we're being sold a bill of goods, as much as the false patriots, for example, go out there and say, hey, let's march and we're going to win and we're going to take back our Constitution. There are some people like those, for example, who are pushing a con. Isn't that interesting? What a con that the con is. But it is a great deception, and lots of people are falling for it. And the third thing I wanted to mention, as I had looked at the video you posted about Dutch Sense and this on my blog, and one of his strong objections to this was that it was against God and against his sense of who the Creator is and so forth. So we have this deception, and this is where the conversation with Red came in. You know, they're taking people out of Israel. There's right now the words of John are coming through. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this mess. And there's so many people who are vying to lead people out of this mess. And Fulford has been right there. And this offer to Dutch Sense is very interesting to me from that standpoint, because it's you know, Fulford has been promising this for a long time. And it just seems like, again, there's a false hope, a false knowing power. Crowley, the New World Order, the UN, this is the false oneness, the false leading out. And so I think this is all related. And in fact, I would say when we get to our another topic tonight, which is the Constitutional Convention proposed, this is again all part of the huge deception. And remember that it is such great deception that the very elect could be deceived, if they could. And so of all the things that we need most now, in my view, is discernment. And again, attaching ourselves to outside movements ignores what is really the most essential thing, and is that our relationship with our Creator and with getting, repenting and getting to the place where we are one with Him and are listening to that advice. Now, if you were, there's no comparison, of course, but if you listen to God and your Creator, what is He telling you versus what Benjamin Fulford and this crowd is doing? You see, it's all a deception. It's all a counterfeit. So I don't know if I've added anything more, Terry, to your discussion, because I thought it was pretty good. But I want to pull in a couple of things, the relationship with the Lackawanna funds, the other kinds of things that this is all tied to that Benjamin Fulford is claiming full credit for, and for heaven's sake, sitting down with George H.W. Bush and working out a deal where they have more time to give up all their money, like, right, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you too. So, but there's so many people who are desperate for an answer, and they are so empty inside that this is the kind of thing that provides a great deception and a great culling. The end of this, that those who follow this false deception are dead and are highly deceived and don't have a chance in the next world. So I'll just stop right there.
Well, this obviously points me to the spiritual battle. All of it does. Every piece of it takes me back to the spiritual battle. And I think it's time for us to talk about just exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. You know, there's calls today for secession and civil war because of this betrayal of these 87 Republicans, three of which were from Colorado, men who claim to be conservative, who are wanting donations for elections coming up. I wouldn't donate to one of those three idiots right now for anything, love or money. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out and fight against them in their campaigns, in their primaries. You know, we got to get somebody to run against them. I think if nobody else will, I might have to do it myself. It is pathetic that we don't really have any representation in Washington, D.C. anymore. And that, again, points back to the spiritual battle. Who owns these people? It's Luciferians. It's people who claim to be Jews that are not of Judaeus, that are not of, never were of the bloodline of Judah and never lived there before they came in and made their false claims and got the United States to support them in that. You know, they're the ones that own the banks. They're the ones that own the crown. These are people who do not just want a one-world government. They want a one-world religion. And all of this stuff is a part of their efforts to accomplish that. And, you know, Pat Shannon's book that said everything they ever told me was a lie, well, that's the truth. Everything these people have ever told us to some extent has been a lie. They have taken us down a road of subversion. And that subversion started out by breaking down our religious foundations and our beliefs and corrupting our society and then infiltrating and taking over every institution in our society, from government to judiciary to schools to education, all the way to the pulpits, as Red has said many times. So, Red, do you want to jump in this conversation before we launch off into con-cons and chips and things like that?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if I had it still on mute or not. I was just glad that you two had this conversation, because a lot of it I hadn't heard. I don't pay much attention to the media anymore in this country or world or any place else, because I find that the news for our day that was put in print back in the days of Isaiah and such is better, more information, you know, the right thing, kind of information. In my lifetime, I've seen altogether too much, you know, bad information coming out of the schools and everything else. And of course, this fiasco in Washington, D.C., you see all these people. All these people are all victims of this government school situation, education that they've got. They're all victims of the religious teaching in our churches, and they're all victims of this deceit and deception that Dr. Kate is talking about, just like we. We have to really work at it. To avoid being sidetracked by all this deception that we're so exposed to on a daily basis. So I prefer to get the news of the day from Isaiah and some of the other prophets in the Old Testament and, of course, in the New Testament as well. It may have been written 2,000 or 4,000 years ago, but it's more on target. And, of course, we've talked quite a bit about Matthew, the 24th chapter, and how Christ was telling the apostles how bad things were going to get. And I would say... it is probably a time for a word of warning here, because we're headed for, you know, worldwide chaos, and it's going to become just exactly what the Luciferians want, to get their man at the top of the heap with this, what they call the New World Order. Which is nothing more than a counterfeit, a satanic counterfeit of what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, that he was coming with his New Jerusalem, and that that the government would rest on his shoulders. And you see, that's news for our day that was written back there quite a long time ago. And but it's right on target for today. So as this chaos develops and continues to accelerate, and it will accelerate, they've got to get this to a point where the people of this world on this planet are going to be wringing their hands and saying, give us a leader, give us a worldwide leader so we can cut off these wars and all this. And that'll bring in the initial world leader that is going to sit on the top of the heap in the beginning of the tribulation period, the 7 years. And so, you know, I see all of this stuff. I hear all of this stuff. And I just say thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Thank you for helping me to be able to discern that this is all Bible prophecy that is coming to pass right now. And some of it was written many, many centuries ago. But it's right on target right now. And so hang on to your hat, because there's some evil wind that's going to be blowing, and we think it's blowing hard now. And I think a lot of people have heard me say that the news today and our situation today, 30 days from now, 30 days from now, people will look back at the 16th of October and say, boy, that was the good old days. And so that's how fast things are changing. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to participate in the process, I don't think, to the point where we're going to have much of an impact. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I have mentioned to a number of people here recently that I think I mentioned it to you, Terry, and I think I mentioned it to you, Dr. Kate, too, how that the children of Israel, when they were in slavery in Egypt, the reason that God brought them out of Egypt was not because they had a repentance that God felt sorry for them or anything like that. It was God's time for them to come out, to be brought out of Egypt and brought back to the promised land. And those people, they were grumbling, all the time, and they died. That generation died in the wilderness because they would not trust their Heavenly Father. And so I suspicion that our Heavenly Father is going to do a lot of things in the United States of America in the near future, not because we have repented. I have to say that I'm pleased at some of the things I'm hearing about different people in the freedom movement, where they are recognizing the spiritual. And, of course, I'm trying to get people as much as I can to recognize, to be identifying. Identify the counterfeit, and lots of times it'll help you to identify that which is God-given, something that is true and righteous. You can always confirm God's his gifts and everything. If you can't find a counterfeit of something, why then you got to be a little cautious. If you're presented with something that's supposed to be true, and you can't identify a satanic counterfeit to it, then you have to be very careful. But anyway, I'm meandering here, so I better quit and. I'm enjoying the conversation, so let's have some more of it.
Well, one of our mountain women in Montana is going to have to leave our show here in a moment because I know she has a show of her own. You're going to be going to Montana, Red, you and meeting up with Kate. I sure wish I could be there Sunday night and Monday. I'd like to kind of, maybe if we can, talk about the ConCon situation before our friend has to leave. There are three significant reasons why a constitutional convention is the last thing that we need. I'll talk a little bit more about the attorneys in a minute, but I just want to get this out. A constitutional convention, there's only been one up until now, and it was put together. They came together on it in order to make a few minor changes to the Articles of Confederation, and they ended up completely rewriting the thing. Today's political environment is significantly different than that. There is no provision saying exactly how a state is supposed to select its delegates to go to a ConCon. In fact, there's no provision for an election at all, either. The state legislature will pick them, a governor will pick them, or they will come out of a nomination committee, which means it's going to be controlled by the banksters because they control all of those elements already, which means the people that go to that ConCon will likely be mostly attorneys, and most of them will be there to support the agenda of the banking establishment. And believe me, the establishment GOP is already controlled by these very people. These are the same people that just passed the funding in Congress for, you know, Obamacare and a continuing budget until February. They basically betrayed us. And so that's a number one reason why we do not want a con at this point, because the people will have no control whatsoever over who represents them, which they won't have any representation in that constitutional convention. Second, there is no provision that allows for the con to be restricted to a single or a select group of topics. It will not be just because of a balanced budget. These legal councils, these legislative councils, have been advising your elected officials that, oh, sure, you can limit it. We'll just put that provision in the call. Well, second, the third reason is that there is no provision for rescinding a call, and a lot of states have rescinded their call over the years because they discovered the things that I'm telling you right now. So they after they put the call out, they said, oh boy, we made a mistake, and they wanted to rescind it. Well, there's no provision for them to rescind it. So they could actually call a con based upon calls from states that have already rescinded their call. So you won't control who's there. You're not going to be able to limit the topics or subject matter of the con. There's nothing to stop them from rewriting the entire Constitution, because they have more power. A con has more power than the joint sessions of Congress, where you put Senate and Congress together. A con has more power than that. There's nothing to stop them from taking their liberal ideas, their progressive ideas, their communist ideas, and putting forth, they could change our whole government. They could change the whole republic. They could change the whole Constitution. There's nothing that would stop them whatever. And you got people like Tim Baldwin up in Montana who's supporting this, jumping on the bandwagon with Mark Levin, who we know is a Bushite. He's somebody that came out of that group. Yeah, okay. I just was looking at notes from Kate. She's stepping away from the mic for a minute. So I hope that our friends in Montana are hearing us, because Rob Nadelson of the Independence Institute is coming up there to have a meeting on Monday to specifically to sell people on a con. Well, it's a con, all right. And the attorneys seem to be taking the lead on this. Why is that? Why is it that the officers of the courts are all of a sudden saying it's a good thing? Well, I can tell you that here in Colorado, when a call was put through on a voice vote of all things in our legislature here in the state, that the reason many of the representatives supported it was because the legislative council told them that it would be nothing more than a political statement. They lied to them. I actually got on the phone with one of those legislative council people and started asking them questions about the things that I just told you. And they couldn't dispute a single one of them. They had to agree with me on every single one of those points. And then I asked them, why did you tell this representative and that representative, who are good people with good intentions, that they should support this? They just choked. They couldn't give me an answer to that. Our original 13th Amendment said that lawyers, if they take on a title like Esquire or any foreign emolument or title of nobility, that they would not only not be able to run for office, they would lose their citizenship. They would sacrifice their citizenship, and that they could not run for office. Yet today, because they basically hid the original 13th Amendment. It's never been repealed. It's never been turned over. It's still there, but it's not printed in any of the constitutions. They just made it disappear. And now we've got a majority of our elected officials that are attorneys. Now, why is that? Well, for one, they all do fairly well financially and are able to run for office because they can support their nominations and their campaigns. But they also get supported by the banksters. So the banksters are financing and making big contributions to these attorneys whenever they want to run for office. So we've got a completely illegal group of people that are not even supposed to be in the government, running our government, and they're controlled by the banksters who have financed their campaigns. And these are the same people that are now supporting a call for a con. Red, add to that.
I'll tell you, I think that this is in the law schools, you see, the law school professors and the judges, lawyer judges that have come out of these law schools and such, they have, they're the ones responsible for our Constitution, our present Constitution, being almost worthless at this point in time. So I can understand, you see, why they're pushing for a con, because the old Constitution just isn't working the way it's supposed to. Well, why isn't it working? The whole thing is because we were not taught, and of course the lawyers in law school weren't taught either, and it's a sure thing we weren't taught in our government school education that the 7th article of the Bill of Rights, that 7th Amendment, common law jury, they are the highest court in our land. And they don't even know it. The people that serve on those juries don't have a clue to the fact that they are the highest court in the land. And you'll find that there's hardly any lawyers that understand this. And I've explained it to quite a few lawyers, and I wish I had it right in front of me, but I don't. But the 7th article of the Bill of Rights, the 7th Amendment, it says at the end, it says, then according to the rules of the common law, and they say, well, what's the common law? And I say, well, you start with the Ten Commandments. That's the basis, and God's law is common law. And, you know, when I challenge people, or especially attorneys, that the Seventh Amendment common law jury is the highest court in the land, they all argue with me until I read it for them and point it out for them that the 7th article of the Bill of Rights says that no fact tried by that jury may be reexamined by any court in the land. So we blame the lawyers and the lawyer judges for a lot of problems. We blame the congressmen and the senators, and it all comes right back to we the people. We're the ones that failed. We're the ones that brought this all up because we didn't do our job. We were not vigilant. The founders told us, they said, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. We're losing our liberty because we won't pay the price for liberty. And we should have been interpreting, and that's not the right word. We should have been enforcing. They used the word interpret. We don't want to change the Constitution to Spanish or Arabic or anything else. We want it in the English language in which it was written. That's where we want the Constitution. To interpret is to change from one language to another. And we the people, we have nobody to blame but ourselves for the situation where we're in today. We are the ones that on the bottom line. And we're the ones that are going to pay the heaviest price because we're the most to blame for all of this. Because, I've talked at this for a long time, and I'll tell you, there's not too many people in this country that have picked up and have gotten up on the stump and told their friends and neighbors and such about their power on a jury. They just don't do it because they haven't grasped what I'm trying to say and have been trying to say for all these years. Until the American people, we the people, let's put it that way, we the people created that Constitution. The lawyers and the lawyer judges, they are not going to enforce that Constitution as we intended it. Because they are, when they have the authority to interpret and such instead of enforce it, they will make it fit whatever mischief they've got up their sleeve. And they develop these conflicts of interest. We've got all these people that have been prosecuted for IRS violations, income tax violations. They're sitting in jail. It wasn't the judge, that's to blame for that. It's the people, 12 people sitting on the jury. They're the ones that are to blame for that. And, I wrote that in the last full-page ad. I had an AFP how that it was we the people that created the IRS and allowed them to become so corrupt. It was we the people. And I haven't heard any of we the people out there saying, you're right, Red. And I've been saying this. I've got all those books. I've got truckloads of books we've moved out there, we've sold. And people read, oh, this is a great book, but they never accept the responsibility that they're supposed to be exercising. And, of course, the Tea Party people and such are talking about sovereignty. And I ask them the question, well, where do you exercise your sovereignty? They don't even know what I'm talking about. In other words, they don't know what sovereignty is. Sovereignty is to have he who has the final say on the law. And that's what the 7th article of the Bill of Rights is there. It's the only place in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that tell you where to exercise your sovereignty. So, I guess I'm saying things that I've said over and over, but I'll continue to say them until the day I die. And so I'll get back to you, Terry.
Well, there's no question that if we have a CONCON, a constitutional convention, that it will be loaded up with attorneys. Most of them will have been placed in those positions by people either by the banksters or by people working for the banksters, and they will make certain that whatever little bit of common law protection we have at this point will be written out of whatever they do. There will be no natural law. There will be no God's law. There will be no common law in anything that comes out of a CONCON today. So I hope the people up there in Montana, when Nadelson shows up, walks in and asks them questions about the things that we're talking about here. How do you limit a CONCON? Who controls who goes to that CONCON? Will it be a bunch of attorneys? Ask them why attorneys are pushing this. We need to confront them. We need to embarrass them. We need to put them on the spot and show them up for what they are, and that is representatives of the banksters who are trying to destroy this republic and destroy our Constitution and destroy the unalienable rights of every individual amongst the states. That's where we are. And if we let this happen, you can kiss it goodbye. because they'll come for your guns. They're going to not, there won't be any states' rights. They'll be dictating what the press can and can't say, which they're already doing. But at least we have the Bill of Rights that still sits there for us to point at and say you're in violation of it. I guarantee you all of that will go away if we have a con. Attorneys do not work for people or natural persons, natural people, men on the land. They are agents of the court, and the court is owned by the banksters. These people
Terry, you're just confirming what I've been saying. You see, they don't teach the law students in the law schools. I've been told by a number of attorneys that this is the case, that they're not taught anything about the seventh article of the Bill of Rights. And the reason is, of course, that you see, if you don't have juries that are enforcing the Constitution, then you have these controversies that come up. And attorneys represent both sides. The loser in the lower court, then they push it up to the appellate level, and so you got more lawyers, you got lawyer judges, and the case goes on. And after the appellate courts rule on it, then it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, you see, all of those cases, the legal profession is bleeding off the wealth of the people who are involved in the controversy. Now, we need the lawyers and such and the lawyer judges to settle the controversies between corporate entities and between the states. But when it comes to a controversy between me and my government, or even between me and a fellow American, there's no reason in the world why that should go up through the court system and all the appeals. If it is done at the common law, you will find the proper result is going to come out right there at the level of we the people and the common law jury. And the lawyers, they've got to go dig ditches for a living. But the way it is, they can bleed off the wealth of the people. And of course, they're part of the game, the banker game. There's no question about that. But when we bring in the common law, I can assure you, when we bring in the common law, then we don't have attorneys. You might say parasitic. They're bleeding off the wealth of the people, and they really don't earn it at all. But, today it's really kind of strange because none of them use law libraries anymore. They've got it all on their computer. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a crazy world out there in the legal game. I have a granddaughter that's married to a young fellow, an attorney. And I knew that when he got out of law school and he graduated as top honors in his graduating class, and I knew that he was not going to be happy. He went home to his home state and joined the Bar Association. And 2 years later, he wanted out. He didn't like what was happening. He saw the corruption. He saw the evil. And he had a set of morals because he had parents who were Christian parents. And it was an entirely different world than what he had thought it was going to be. But 2 years was enough. And so I've seen this happen. And, you know, it just, well, it grieves me. But I have tried to speak out for all these many years. And I'm disappointed because more people haven't listened and paid attention to what I was saying. But I've done my best, and like you mentioned there earlier, that you know, we have to make ourselves available, and that's what I tried to do. And there's a lot of people out there that should be making themselves available. When they read my book, Why the Militia, the tools, the information is there for them, but they'll say, oh, that's a great book. That's a great book. But how many of them have accepted the responsibility, made themselves available to go out there and, you know, put the truth out there where people can access it? But that's the way it is. And, of course, I'm going to continue getting my news out of the Bible, because it's a lot more on target than what you're going to get from the media and from the churches and from the schools and all the rest of it today. So I'll turn it back to you, Terry.
Well, I'd kind of like to hear from our Dr. Kate regarding, you know, why she believes that so-called conservative attorneys are all of a sudden supporting a con-con, and what some of your concerns for a con-con are.
Well, I find myself thinking about Tim Baldwin and wondering if it's a conflict, ultimate conflict, to say that you are a Christian and be an attorney, and especially one who is pushing a con-con. And again, you know, sometimes words tell you everything you need. A con, twice. It's a con. And, you know, just like the Troubled Asset Relief Program during Bush Jr.'s reign, covered up, essentially, again, more theft from the American people. And when you use the acronym for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, it's TARP. Well, what do you do with a TARP? You cover it up. And so it must be the awareness that that God has gracefully, you know, just wonderfully put before me, because the more I know, the more I can see how far off we are. I remember everyone telling me, you'd make a good lawyer, you'd make a good lawyer. And for a long, long time, I tossed and turned about going to law school. I never did, thank the good Lord. And now I never would, because of what it has come to represent and how twisted it is. And I know in my own field, or the field that's been laid before me in natural resource management, especially when I worked at Interior Department, was that the lawyers got a hold of the land and created all these conflicting laws so they would have permanent employment. And here we are now, the lawyers, through the Administrative Procedures Act, through the failure, you know, the ultimate failure of these amendments to be cleanly ratified by the states, the 16th, the 17th, the 14th amendments. Isn't it interesting that they create the problem and now they're coming to back, quote unquote, save the day? It's again, it's another huge deception. We have put so much into these esquires, and it turns out they know nothing. They absolutely know nothing, really, or have any common sense. And I am quite concerned that Well, I just see it happening. There's a crash between true Christians and the law, and or the current legal profession the way it is. So I'm wondering how people can do this, and I'm wondering in Kalispell on Monday night when this ConCon seminar is put out there, how sharp that distinction is going to be, especially if there's an educated audience that can ask the right questions here. Because, like I say, the thing that I was thinking about in just as you both were talking in the last few minutes is the conflict of interest. What we have, it seems to me, like with this recent shutdown, again, all run by lawyers and all these billions of dollars tucked into various quote-unquote, rescue packages for the economy, which is just frankly two wolves, a sheep, deciding what to have for lunch. And one wolf is a Democrat, the other is a Republican. And a sheep in the middle, are they going to eat us all for lunch or save part of us for dinner? And that's part of what the shutdown drama really was about, shutdown theater, is dividing up the spoils, who's going to get what. And the losers are always us, yet we continue to allow this nonsense to rule. And without a firm foundation, it is easy to have a bunch of lawyers up there talking about a constitutional convention and think that this is the savior thing. This is the right thing. This is the leading us out of the mess we're in. And, again, looking on the outside for what is ultimately our own responsibility and our own relationship. God's law is common law. That's what the Constitution is common law. And it's not all of this other stuff that's been invented. So I see a number of things. I am grateful, so grateful to Red Beckman for writing about this for 30 years and speaking about it and talking about it. And I weep because so few of us are worthy enough to have even listened, to have even moved forward on this. So few of us are worthy. We are so unworthy. It's mind-boggling. You think about John weeping in Revelation that no one could stand. No one could stand. No one could come forward. Not one righteous man could stand. And that's where we are right now. And for those people who don't think that this stuff is true, think about this. One of the other mountain women from Montana and I are quite good friends, and Red, I hope you get to meet her when you come to Montana. But one of the things we often talk about is that these Luciferians should have waited 20 more years when people like you and me and her and Red and others would be certainly gone, because then they'd have no institutional memory. But because Satan knows his time is short, he had to spring this now. Obama had to get elected now. They had to push this now. They are so pushing it. Their time is so short. They don't even care about covering it up anymore. It's absolutely flat out in your face. We're going to destroy you. We're going to bring you to your knees. We're going to eliminate all your liberty. We're going to chip you. We're going to attack you in every possible way. And it's disheartening in the sense of what we are facing, but it's actually for me, go ahead, bring it on, because I know where we're going to be after this thing is over. And I guess what's becoming so much, it's like a sharp line, Terry and Fred, for me. It's such a sharp line. There are places I'm not going to go. I'm simply saying no. No, you're not going to get this. You're not going to get that. Absolutely not. I'm not going to sign up for this stupid Obamacare. I'm not going to tolerate a constitutional convention. And just wondering, you know, about Monday night, I'm wondering if they will even allow questions, because I would venture to say that probably about 80% of the audience that's going to show up is going to be informed and against a constitutional convention. And
did we lose you?
No, can you hear me? Can
yes,
you hear me
now?
Okay. How?
Yes.
Where did I lose you?
I'm not sure. It might just be me. It might just be my connection.
Okay. I'm glad I wasn't muted because I could have gone on for a long time. But so my thinking is that our discussion right now, the discussion we will have in Montana this weekend, the kinds of things that are coming forward, this is the time to choose. And some people are going to just be willingly deceived. Some will never even know they're being deceived. And those Luciferians know exactly what they're doing right now, and they're not going to win. The battle has already been won. Thank Jesus Christ. Thank the good Lord. The battle has already been won. So now we're going to have people sitting back and saying, well, I'm going to be in the rapture, so I'm not going to be here when all this stuff happens. Well, guess what? Don't even think about that. You know, there's much, I don't see the rapture mentioned at all. I personally don't believe in quote unquote the rapture. I know that we are all going to suffer in tribulation. Those who suffer God's wrath, we are not going to suffer God's wrath, but we certainly are going to be in tribulation, and we are right now in judgment. And again, you know, you point one finger at one person and three of them point back at you. Physically, that's a reality. And so it is our responsibility now. So why do we run from one thing to the next? Oh, let's go to this rally, or let's go to that constitutional convention, or this, let's try this, or let's join that group. It's all external, and that is all by design. And I feel like I can count on the fingers of one hand the people I really trust, or any quote-unquote movement that I trust. The Tea Party is still playing the game. I mean, hello, they're all disappointed and we're going to rise again? No, you're not. I mean, really, this is over. The political thing is going to crash and burn on its own. It's just how many of us are going to go down with it. That's a big question. So in the broadest sense, I think we are, every time we talk, every time we have a radio show, every time we even ask these questions or give our views, we are growing and we are spreading the knowledge and we are doing what we need to. And it always gives me a sense of hope and renews my conviction and dedication to be available, because that's the question right now. Are you available for this next phase? And if you are, then step up and open your ears and eyes. And I have to do this all the time for what does God want me to do in at this time? Those of us who are aware know that we're all being called. And this is, I was just thinking about something just in the, just about that, you know, what is my role? And I was thinking that you'll probably laugh at this, but I was thinking, well, I'm not going to have health insurance because I'm not signing up for this stuff, and I'm not going to get chipped, and I'm not going to give out all my information, and I'm going to have a good, you know, medicine cabinet full of herbs, and as my friend says, let's see, turpentine, absorbine, and iodine. I guess those are really good, good things to have. But I was thinking that, well, what if you die? What if your availability is, you know, you're supposed to die of some terrible disease or something? And the answer that came to me immediately was that will be, something will happen as a result of that. That will be what my role is. I know I'm going to die. I don't know how. I don't care when. We all die. And but I do know the Lord's going to take me when his time, and and that's that. But it seems like everywhere you go, what if I die? What if I get a disease? Well, that's part of your availability. Something, there's a reason for that. So it's very interesting. I carry on this dialogue all day, it seems, and trying to get to the place where I'm in a prayerful state all day, all the time, and just heighten the awareness. And I just feel like there's no more time. There's no more time to do any of this other stuff. Honestly, focus on career, you know, go to a party. I mean, I know I can get extreme, but there's just no more time. You have a choice between smoking a lot of pot and going off and doing what you want, or getting things done that you have to do. And where's your time going to be spent? There's not much time left. And that's the concern I have, and the compassion for other people. Some are so lost, some are so negative, some are so willfully deceived that it's, you just want to shake them, say you're running out of time. Just don't do this stuff, this anguish, this division, this attempting to get one over, this slavery. Don't do it. Come out of her, my people. And so that's a huge challenge. And supposed to be talking about a con, we should be talking about this. Anyway, I'll stop there because I seem to wander as well. Terry, you asked me to say something profound. I'm not sure I did, but I sure said something anyway.
Well, let's see. I was just checking to see if I was muted. You know, you mentioned being chipped. In the wake of this betrayal vote in the Congress that has put this corrupt and criminal government back to work, today I get news from a friend that they had a family member in California that just had a baby, and they chipped that kid. Now, chip is an interesting term because it doesn't just refer to the electronic thing that they, digital thing that they, coded thing that they put under your skin. It also refers to Children's Health Insurance Program, which is a part of now working in conjunction with Obamacare for kids that are born without insurance. They're placed in the chip program. So I went digging today because I had heard misinformation, really, about chips being a microchip, being a part of the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, if anybody cares to call it that. So I went digging. I found one site that still claims that a microchip is a part of Obamacare, and it was actually a Catholic site. I think the initials are for the Last Days Ministry, and it still claims that, you know, it cites paragraph 1, section B on page 1004, where it says in this paragraph the term data refers to information respecting a device described in paragraph 1, including claims data, patient survey data, standardized analytical files that allow for the pooling and analysis of data from disparate data environments, electronic health records, and any other data deemed appropriate by the secretary. Well, that may be going on, but it's being reported that the clauses in the initial bill and a subsequent joint bill regarding a microchip were removed from Obamacare. But yet I hear today a kid in California, they put a chip in him. They weren't just in the chip program. They put a chip in him. That's what was reported to me by a friend whose family member had a baby. Well, that was pretty disturbing for me. Obviously, that brings to mind the the conversation about Mark of the Beast, which I don't think we want to tie up the last half hour of the show specifically talking about, but they're ramming things down our throats, and people are standing by and basically continuing to use their remote controls on the TV to be fed all the propaganda and lies that they get from the bankster-controlled media. So that brings me to what's the Holy Spirit telling me? What's the Holy Spirit telling you we're supposed to be doing right now? You know, my son has a pretty strong connection with that still small voice in his head that he seeks advice from. And for a while, we were thinking we really needed to oil our guns, that we needed to be prepared if these people come into our neighborhood and try to intrude in our house or take anything of ours, that we needed to be prepared to defend ourselves. But that's not what that still small voice is telling me right now. You know, I hear Red, you're the most optimistic guy I know in the world, at least sensibly optimistic. There are some that are ridiculously optimistic, but you are sensibly optimistic, and you keep saying that, you know, we've got this opportunity to turn things around. And I want to believe that, but when I get into the Word, when I get into the Scripture, and I listen to that still small voice, that's not what I'm reading, and that's not what I'm hearing. What I'm reading and what I'm hearing is that time is short, and rather going out there and trying to beat your head up against a wall of prejudice, of Luciferians, of people who have no appreciation for Yahweh or his son, who have no appreciation for even the creation of life other than their own arrogance and their own pride and their own self. They worship self. They don't just worship Lucifer. But by going out there and fighting them, that we would be doing exactly what they expect, and we would be living by the sword and probably dying by the sword. And what that still small voice is urging me to do is to get more into the Word, get more into the Scripture, look at the lies you've been told, and get out there and tell anybody who has their ears on to get right with our Father in heaven, to get right with his Son, to surrender self and tell people that they need to take care of their families. They need to talk to people. They need to make the right decisions and the right choices, that they not be caught like a thief in the night. That's what the Word is telling me. That's what the voice is telling me. Red, bring your optimism forward, my friend.
Well, I like my forecasters that are telling me that this federal government, I call it the federal God lots of times, a small g God, is going to go down. It's going to self-destruct. And I have to remind people that I had forecast downfall of the USSR. And people would say, well, why? Well, the USSR, when the Bolsheviks took over in Russia in 1917, then one of the first things they said was, there is no creator God. They said, the government will be your source. The government will take care of your health, your education, and everything. Alexander Solzhenitsyn says that over 60 million Russians, mostly Christians, Russian Orthodox Christians, were destroyed, murdered in the gulags. And it was a sure thing. The first and second commandments are God's law. It's common law. And the first commandment, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second commandment, he says, for I am a jealous God. And I think if you look back in history, they won't say it this way, but I believe that the Roman Empire came down because of violations of the first and second commandments. And I don't think you'll find an empire, a dictatorship, a monarchy or whatever. Any government that refuses to honor our Creator and recognize the Creator as a God, an almighty Creator, they go down. They go down. And this government we have today, they're firing our military chaplains if they insist on praying and using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just so much going on there where they are denying the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father and His Son. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm fairly confident that this government, this federal God in Washington, D.C., is going to go down. And it's going to, excuse me, it's going to leave quite a vacuum there. And it's going to be a vacuum that this New World Order is going to be able to move into. And you're going to have that Antichrist world political leader that is going to be sitting on top of the planets of the whole planet, and of course, if you read the news written there by the Apostle John, his first 3.5 years are going to be rather successful. He's going to be restoring some order and some economy and all that kind of thing. And then he's going to be assassinated. And I have so much confidence in my news source, the Holy Scriptures. I have so much confidence that if somebody wanted to make a bet, I'd be tempted to make the bet. But I'm not a gambler, so I'm a gambler. I planted seed in the ground, and my Heavenly Father sent the rain, and it grew, and we had hay and corn and grain. We had feed for livestock and all that kind of thing. So I was a gambler in that sense of the word, but I don't think that there's too many people at this point in time that would want to wager any amount of their fortune on whether this federal God is going to survive the days ahead here. I don't think they will, and so you see this con. These people may find themselves without, a constitution, a government, or anything else. And so I don't really, I'm not going to promote the con. I'm going to tell people what I think of it. When I am up in Montana for that meeting up there, I'm going to tell that group of people. I'm going to tell them. Get your news out of the Scriptures. Some of it was written 4,000 years ago, but it's for today. It's for now. And it's the news, and it's a little better than this media, this rigged media that we have, giving us all of this deceit and deception and this false information. And so, I'm not going to say, people say, well, probably you're going to be wrong. Well, I'm not going to say that. My Heavenly Father is not going to be wrong. This government is going to go down, and we're not going to save it. It's not going to be savable unless unless they repent, and I can assure you that there is very small chance of a political repentance in this country, that unless our Heavenly Father and His Son come down and make a special effort to convict our political leaders of their sin and their wickedness, their corruption, and if they repent. And I don't think that's going to happen, because Lucifer has such a stranglehold on them they're not going to go that route. So I think the government is going to go down, and like I say, I think it'll open the door. When this government goes down, it was the most powerful, the most wealthy nation on the face of the earth. And today it's in poverty, where we have more poverty here, and we've got more people in prison. We have an economy that is just absolutely in the pits, and, we're the laughingstock of the world, because we've got an imposter in the White House, and nothing is being done about removing him. So I guess that's enough of my rambling right now, but don't forget the first and second commandments. Our Heavenly Father created that law, and He is going to enforce the law that He made. We, the people, created the Constitution for the United States of America. We created it, and we have refused to enforce it, and we're going to pay for it. So with that, I'll sign off for a bit.
Terry, I think you're muted.
I must have been. I said, is there a comment that you wanted to make at this point, or shall I get back on my soapbox? Because I can certainly respond to what Red said, and I just wanted to afford you the chance to jump in before I did.
Yeah, I am of the opinion that this government's going to fall, and my view on making myself available right now is creating a record. Now, it's really on faith and your belief that you are afforded entry into the heavenly kingdom. And for me, just where I am, and just with every gift that I've been given, I am where I'm supposed to be right now, and the record I'm creating is one which I believe will hasten the downfall of this system, because the project that we're working on right now is so corrupt. It is so full of lies. It is so disingenuous. It is so divisive and anti-God, and it's so... It's like a microcosm of everything that's being done to us, I refuse to let it go on. And that is bottom line, I believe, why I was brought here, in addition to all the other reasons I didn't know I was brought here for, and the learning. But I believe it's important to create a record. And again, that's not all. But they are not going to get away with the stuff on this local level that they think they are, as long as I have anything to do with it, and as long as God is allowing me to be here for that. And at the same time, I also feel that that I need to study more, that I need to know more, and that I need to speak more with people, like you were saying, Terry. And I'm beginning to look at this book that I'm writing as very much that opportunity to, what would you say, bridge the knowledge, if you will, or really write this in the framework, frame of mind that I really am in, and have the work here show and stand for itself, but it's the larger purpose. So I feel that creating the record and exposing, because that's also what is going on right now, is a great deception, and we're exposing as much as we can, will hasten the downfall. And I'm all for that. And it's not the most comfortable position you can be in, but you have to point it out. And at the same time, like I say, it's moving so far beyond, the issue is so far beyond this particular thing that we're dealing with here, that that it's mind-boggling. But it's connected. So those are my 2 cents. Please go ahead, Terry. And you're muted.
Well, I'm not muted. What I'm about to say is not gloom or doom to me. I see great opportunities ahead. I totally agree that this government is going down. That, I don't even think, is a question. I don't even think it's hardly debatable anymore. The only question that any of us have at this point is, what's held it up this long? I do believe that, like Red started talking about Egypt and how the Hebrews, those of Judah's clan with Moses, were forced out of Egypt. It was Yahweh that hardened the hearts of the Pharaoh and those in leadership there in what was known as Mitraim. That was what they called Egypt at the time. They were flourishing there. The Hebrews were flourishing there, and I guess that's part of the reason why, you know, our Father in Heaven put them there, was so that they could grow and build their nation that they took out of there. But they didn't leave because they wanted to leave. They left because the Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and all of those various plagues were pushed on him. And I see similar situations going on right here now in our time. I believe that those banksters, those Luciferians, those evil establishment, those, whatever you want to call them, Ashkenazis, Talmudic Kabbalists, Jesuits, all of these people who are really beating down the Messiah's people, I believe that they have planned this and have predicted themselves that this fall of this government would occur. And they've set it up, the deck, so that they can also be the saviors of the situation and reset their control in an even more obvious way than they've been able to do it in the past. They've been in control for a long time now. They just didn't count on the resilience of the working class people in this country, and they've had to further injure us in order that there would be less true means of resistance. At this point, they want to see the violence. They want to see that resistance. They want to be able to crush people. That's what they've been doing all along, and people are blind to it. But as people become less blind to it and it becomes more obvious, then those of us that know the truth are going to have a lot of opportunity. It's why I see what's going on up in Montana, where they're fighting those water compacts and the real estate fraud and all of that stuff that's going on, is just exactly what people need to be doing. But in the meantime, we need to be making people aware, especially when they're hurting and you're helping them. Make them aware of the spiritual battle. Make them aware that this is really foretold in Scripture. Make them aware that they need to make a choice, that they need to make a decision, They need not crawl into the mud with these evil people who are doing this. But they need to get into the Word. They need to fight for what's going on around them in their communities. They need to put their defenses up the best they can. They need to be prepared. But more than anything else, they need to be prepared in their hearts for the fact that a lot of people's hearts are being hardened and that things are coming to a head. Worldwide, things are coming to a head. And there's going to be a lot more deception. The deceptions that we've seen, I think, are just the foreshadowing of what is in our near future, immediate near future. So there's going to be opportunity, but victory isn't what we perhaps would like to see it be, other than on a local level at this point. Worldwide, I believe that the only way there's going to be victory is in the day of Yahweh, when our Father and His Son come here and fix it and destroy this earth with fire, along with all of those who have worshipped self and refused to follow His commandments. So we've got a lot of work ahead, and I think that it's exciting. I think that the relationships that we can build, I believe that those people who do have ears, and I do think there's some out there that do, and I think those ears are going to heal, as Red has talked about, as the pain increases. Those ears are going to heal. People are going to be wondering what in the world is going on, and those of us who have a little bit of an idea that can direct them where they need to be focused and show them the deceptions, I think that the relationships that are going to come out of that are going to be powerful. So I see this as a great time of opportunity, but I don't see it as a time when we're going to turn these United States around and ever have a government that we can rely on to protect individual rights again. I don't see it. Now, those are some straight, candid words. So I'll get off my soapbox a minute, and Red, let you jump in, and Kate, if you've got any other comments.
I mentioned here at one program that we had with Dr. Kate on a Wednesday here a week or so ago, how that what Dr. Kate is doing in Montana, you see, is she's exposing. We call it corruption, and we really should be just calling it that three-letter word, sin. And I mentioned 1 Timothy in our scriptures. Go to 1 Timothy, the fifth chapter and the 24th verse, because it says, some men's sins are open before the judgment, and others they follow after. You don't want to be one where your sins follow after, because that's too late to repent. You want your sins exposed now, before we end up in before the federal or the universe, the judge of the universe, our Heavenly Father, sitting as the great judge. If we don't take care of our sins, if we don't have our sins forgiven here, if we don't have them exposed, then you're going to face them after you face the judge, and then it's too late for repentance. Dr. Kate is doing something. There is no question in my mind that our Heavenly Father made it possible for her to go to Montana, expose the sin of a whole gang of outlaws that were trying to steal God's gift to the people of Montana, and that is the water. We've got the best water up there that you'll find anywhere in the United States, just about, I'm sure. And these outlaws, Luciferians, if you please, they were trying to steal that water, and that was a sin. They were trying to steal God's gift to the people, we the people, And Dr. Kate has done the homework, the research, and all the study. Her education has come into use, and it's a talent that God has allowed her to acquire. And now she is using that talent and that truth that she has gained. She is using that to bring forth the information, the evidence of the sin of these evil men who have been trying to steal that which God had given to we the people. Our Heavenly Father, he takes exception to that. When his creation are deprived of the gifts that he wanted us to have, that he created for us, and people try to steal those gifts and deny us the use of those gifts, our Heavenly Father isn't pleased with that. And so we're going to see a lot of truth coming out of the woodwork all over the nation. And it is happening right now. People are they don't call it sin like I would at this point. They're talking about it being corruption and all, but there is a lot of truth being brought out there, and sad to say, I don't think there's too many people that recognize the value of that truth that they're being exposed to. They don't. They're so used to the lie that truth is strange to them. They just don't. They don't value truth like they should. And so, but we are seeing it. We're seeing a lot of that. And I think of that congressman from Michigan that made that statement in the Congress about Medicare, and it was so down to earth. And I don't remember his name, but it was an impressive thing. I've seen it. I don't know how many times on the internet, and I've seen it again today, this morning early, and. This fellow, he was very, very articulate in his presentation and everything, and he spelled it out, except that he didn't say that there are those out there that are promoting evil, they're trying their best to hurt and damage we the people out here to their benefit. And so we've got people that are beneficiaries of criminal fraud, and those people, they need to be exposed. And there is a certain amount of it, not as much as we'd like, and not enough for people to to make the changes that need to be made. But at least it's happening, and so there are people that are having their sin exposed and brought into the light, and if they don't repent of their sin, then their judgment is going to be more severe when they go before the judge of out there in eternity. And so with that, I'll turn it back to you, Terry.
Terry, you're muted.
Well, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to unmute myself. Kate, I think I did enough talking a while ago. What closing thoughts do you have with all of this?
I am always renewed and refreshed when we talk and when we point out how all of our various lives and the backgrounds that we have brought us to this point, and the good Lord is the one who's seen to all of this. And would that I wish we knew all of the plans, but that's for him to know. And only that I can say that probably for the first time in my life, I actually feel that I'm in the right place, and that the struggles that I have here are of my own doing and are the trappings of another world. And I just feel renewed and refreshed and ready to go, because it really is, when you look at what these people are doing here, it really is sinful. It really absolutely is a violation of God's law. And the more we work, the more we see it. The only way that people can defend this issue here is to threaten other people and to say what it's not. And I think that's a clue. If you can't defend a position on all levels, including God's law, for example, saying to some of these people, now tell me why it is again that you believe stealing someone else's water is the only way to solve this particular problem. Tell me that. Tell me why. If they can't answer that question, which they won't and they won't ever, they'll say, oh, we're not stealing it. We're just putting it under the umbrella of somebody else. Like, duh, that's stealing the water. There will come a time when I think as Satan is getting more blatant, there is a time to basically call it out as sin, calling it out as that, as a violation. And that word sin, I mean, you get all kinds of people objecting to it, and the more the objection, the more sinful they probably are. So it is really, everything is getting stripped away. We are going to be able to use that language flat out, straight, clear, and it will become clear to some whose ears are open, whose ears can hear what we're talking about. So I'm going to close with that, and with tremendous praise for and thanks to God and to all those who are listening, and to friends, and to you, Red, and Terry, for our continuing dialogue. This is very important for people to hear, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'll end there, Barry.
I believe we need to plan a show, Kate, based on how we perceive things happening in the future. You know, the scripture says that in those days, talking about these end days, it will be like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, there was Nephilim, and the whole world was just entirely corrupted. Today, those in control of our money supply, in control of the banks, in control of the central banking system, in control of really even our military, and fomenting all the wars and conflicts that are happening, those people are not just not able to resist the temptation of the Ten Commandments. They embrace it and cherish their ability to break it willfully. They perceive themselves to be gods. They believe that gun running and drug running and sex slaves and human trafficking is all a part of their right and control. They have no respect for human rights, for the rights of individuals. None whatsoever. And as their control becomes more overt, I believe that it's going to be very shocking to a vast majority of people who have really been sheltered up until this point. And the things technologically that's going to happen is just going to blow people's minds away. This, I went to the Breakthrough Energy Conference on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this last week and met a lot of great people. I got to meet Catherine Austin Fitz, who I'm supposed to get in touch with and get on the show. I met a fellow, the Searle team. John Searle wasn't there himself, but I've been told that we can get him on our show. Now, he's over in the United Kingdom, but he developed the flying saucer back during the time of World War II. He was building a generator, and when he built the thing, the doggone thing flew. He wasn't trying to build a flying machine, but because of the energy field and the force field that it created, it took off. And so they worked on it and figured out how to steer it and all that good thing. And, you know, you can take that thing right through a radiation field because it will not allow air to come into its airspace. It propels everything. It literally repels itself from the Earth because of the energy field, because of the charges that are created around it. You could call it anti-gravity, but it's really not a misnomer. But my point is that these technological advances have been controlled by these people for many decades, and they've used it to their advantage, but they mostly used it to prevent the people from getting a hold of it. Well, a lot of this stuff is starting to come out. They've killed a lot of people. They've driven a lot of people out of business. They've bought some people away. The stories that I kept hearing this weekend, Friday and Saturday particularly, about how many people had been approached. They tried to buy them off. They tried to scare them off. They literally physically destroyed their labs, threatened them and their families. Some of them ran. Some of them tried to go into hiding. They caught up with some of them. Some of them disappeared. A lot of them today are scared. Some of them whose fathers were involved, that they know as much as their fathers knew. And they're scared. They're afraid to talk to people. They're afraid to bring anything public that they know, because if they do and they try to make money off of it, they know they're going to get persecuted to the grave if necessary in order to stop them. But there's so many people out there now working on this and so many things coming forward that they're not going to be able to stop it. So what are they going to do? They're going to bring it out. They're going to disclose it. They're going to try to claim that it's alien information. You know, the Vatican is all about now trying to set it up so that they'll be able to control things in a way of making people afraid that some alien force is coming in here. What we do have is demonic forces. What we do have are fallen angels. And just like Scripture says, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like the days of Noah. So be ready, be awake. But I think we need to do a show and talk specifically about that. Red, 1 minute left. If you got any final comment you want to make before I close us in prayer?
I think you said it very well.
Well, thank you, Red. It's great talking with you and Kate always, and I believe we've shared some important things tonight, and I pray that our listeners feel the same. Almighty Father in heaven, we just we praise you. We praise you for foretelling all of this. We praise you for giving us your word and your truth and teaching us and giving us the opportunity to be reconciled with you. We praise you for protecting us, for guarding us, for helping us to see clearly what's going on and to be able to see things through your eyes. I just thank you for bringing down the walls in our minds on a continual basis. And we ask you to go before us in this battle, because there's no other way to get anywhere in it without you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Kate.
When I gaze into your love. When I find